Well, that's our theme music from Joe Cocker, and it got our two guests rocking in the seats a little bit, which means they are probably old rockers like me. Respect Yourself by Joe Cocker has got some great messages about respect, and I think respect will undoubtedly come up in our interview with our two guests today. I'm host Sheldon Brown with technician Declan Curran, and this is Mental Health Radio Take It From Us, brought to you and funded by Framework. And we did announce a couple of weeks ago that Framework Trust, who is our funder, has agreed to fund Take It From Us for another 2 years. So you might have the duo of Declan and myself a little bit longer.
Way to go.
Yeah, so Hearts and Minds, who we're talking to today, is a well-being organisation working with people and families to build stronger, healthier communities through promoting, developing and strengthening well-being. An organisation that works across sectors such as primary mental health and community development. Formerly known as Rayburn House, and I think Rayburn House had a great reputation and quite a high profile sort of a name. It changed to the brand of Hearts and Minds late last year. So here to explain a new look and direction is Chief Executive Carol Ryan and Wellbeing and Resilience Program Manager Julie Walker. And neither of them realised that they were going live on Planet FM today. So I think if they'd known that, they may have made different decisions about whether they were going to do a radio interview. But welcome to both of you to Take It From Us. So Carol, how's the new name and brand of Hearts and Minds being received by your stakeholders?
It's been received wonderfully. One of the things before I go into it, I'd like to actually say thank you, Sheldon and Declan, for having us here. Really appreciate this opportunity. It's great. And our emphasis is on well-being, and the definition for us on well-being is when people have the psychological, social, spiritual and physical resources to meet life's challenges and thrive. So the name, Hearts and Minds, well, it is being received very positively. There's the odd one and two that go, not sure about your name. You know, but others have just welcomed it. So the logo by the name, and if you look at our website, symbolises an integrated approach between the heart and the mind, signalling the interweaving of the whole person. And often it's that unseen that is like mental health and like the spirit of each person as to what that means is so integral to our whole sense of self.
Well, I guess it sort of captures the fact that we've got to look after both our physical health and our mental health. Would that be right?
Yes, and we see it as the psychological, the physical, the spiritual and the social.
Right.
But the name change actually took an 18-month process. You won't believe, you know, like it was such a process. So what we did was we knew that with the migrant communities that many of them who rang us thought we were in real estate. We knew that...
Well, because your name was Rayburn House.
Yes, yes. we knew that we cover across Waitemata, but we also provide training across Auckland. And one of the things that became apparent to us is that the GPs in Waitakere and Rodney weren't as aware of the access to our services for their clients. And they saw us as based on the North Shore grounds of the hospital and so thought we were just this tiny little brick building. And I mean, we've moved from there now, but they still think North Shore. So that's shifting now because we have changed our name and we've done a major marketing campaign to shift that, to make people realise that actually there is support out there across Waitemata.
Well, you were just a little brick house, weren't you, at the entrance to North Shore Hospital, and I can remember visiting there probably 10 years ago when I was sort of introducing myself around to the mental health community, and it did feel as though you were part of that hospital. Now, where have you moved to now?
So now we're in Northcote, by Northcote Library and Above North Art. And, you know, we're in the heart of a multicultural community, and it's going under significant development. So working alongside communities to feel part of this development is really, really important. But Northcote is an amazing place. So, you know, the history of Māori in the area, and then the Pacifica coming in. Then in the early 2000s, the older Chinese population coming in, and then another wave of Chinese and Korean and Indian and other ethnicities has been such a mix and blend that's bringing richness to the area. Well, that's how I see it.
I guess there's quite a high concentration of state housing in Northcote, so that probably brings a diversity to...
Yes, it does. The thing with the, they call it social housing now, and whereas I used to know it as state housing.
We're showing our age.
Yeah, it's going through significant development, and that means that there's social housing, but there'll also be housing that will be affordable housing, and then housing that'll be open to the market.
Right.
So it is a major change for Northcote, but it's a great area to be in because we're on the, you know, we're available right in the heart of community. We're a lot gather and meet. Yeah.
Well, there's a rich diversity of Asian takeaway places and food stalls and food markets and that sort of thing in that Northcote shopping centre.
So. Oh, yes, there is some wonderful places. It's a great place to walk around when you're having a lunch break and being tempted.
But are you indicating, Carol, that there's going to be big changes in that shopping centre and that you might be really in the heart of all of that?
Yes, there will be, because the shopping centre, the town square, is the planning's going on to upgrade that also. And that'll be to meet the increasing numbers within Northcote. So it is going to be quite a important involvement so that you get... greenways, cycleways, which they're all working to do, and enhance well-being by being opportunities to engage and bump shoulders and share and have an interactive community is the aim.
That's quite a challenge in Auckland, isn't it, having an interactive community? And how far do you think you've progressed towards achieving that in the work that you're doing?
Oh, well, I feel that we are at that moving, we're just tipping over from that stage as an organisation where you're up for readiness for renewal and we're on the path of renewal.
Right.
And the reason being is we've looked at we want to actually have a social impact, continue with our work in communities. We want to be environmentally friendly, which we're working towards. And the other thing is being sustainable long-term has really made us look and go, okay, how do we do that? And we know our model of working with people is a really good model. How do we replicate it, grow it? How do we ensure that communities continue to thrive? For us, the aim is to keep people as much as you can in everyday life out of the services and getting the support they need when they need it, which keeps us healthy and thriving. And we see that it's not the environment external, like trees and shrubs and bushes for children to move around about a city is really important. But we also know that acceptance and connection or opportunity to play chess outside with other chess players in the local square or whatever really enhances that integrative approach. There's no one wrong way. I think it's a myriad of ways of how to build connecting communities and thrive.
Well, I mean, connection is a very important part of good mental health.
Absolutely. I just always think when you say that, Sheldon, is that the sovereign AUT and its wellbeing index that they did in partnership, measuring the well-being of populations in New Zealand, you know, across New Zealand, I think is really good because you have the big international one, but this one really drills down. And the key findings from my memory, so I might be slightly out, but I think it's still pretty much, is that the biggest concern is around connection, and the biggest population areas is for older adults and for youth. Just, you might say, oh, well, with all the social media and everything else, why is that an issue? It's actually the real connection. It's the sort of, you know, when you have a special friend, when you have people who will listen and really hear you, you know, when you engage and you're not judged, when you see people with a world of possibilities in their eyes rather than what they haven't got, you know? Yeah.
Well, let's bring Julie in here. Julie is working at Hearts and Minds as the Wellbeing and Resilience Program Manager. And I guess, Julie, that really means that you're the architect or part of a team who's going out into the communities and taking some really effective workshops and programs that are addressing really topical issues like depression and anxiety. And, you know, a friend of mine the other day said, do you know, Sheldon, that there isn't a depression group in the whole of Auckland? Now, I'm not sure, because I later thought of the wonderful wellbeing support groups that you are running at Hearts and Minds. I mean, is there one that addresses depression solely?
There is. In fact, across the Waitemata, and as you know, that's a very large area, we, I think for this coming term three, we've got three or four groups which are specifically targeting depression. But my understanding is that Hearts and Minds would probably be the largest deliverer of groups
across Auckland.
If not New Zealand, perhaps.
Yeah. Specific to that whole thing of building the inner resilience of people and populations, or they building it with them, with getting the opportunity to talk and skills and resources. Yeah. I'd agree with you, Julie.
Yeah, and of course we're contracted to deliver to 18 years plus. So our groups, we can have 18, 19-year-olds, and sometimes we've had people in their 80s come along to our groups. So it's very diverse, right. Multicultural, many ages. We've seen a real increase in the numbers of people coming through. I think that is largely because of a growing need, you know, but also quite possibly the decrease in stigma. I was thinking last night I watched Dancing with the Stars with my dear old mum, and Zach, a young guy on it, he was raising money for, I think it was definitely mental health, but, you know, he said that he himself had suffered from depression and that's why he was doing it. And we're seeing more and more people come out and say, hey, you know, I've been through this. And it's a great, great move. It also means, of course, that NGOs such as ourselves, more people are picking up the phone and saying, I need some support, can you help me, you know? Right. So it's great.
So you're getting pretty good response to these wellbeing support groups that you've got out in the community. I mean, you're running them in Rodney, West Harbour, Waitakere and North Shore. So what's the response like?
Large area. The area in Waitakere is more recent for us, and as you can see by the Term 3 program, we were running three in Henderson and one in Westgate, Massey,
right.
Such as the demand. Every term now we're basically seeing at least 20% increase, which is quite a significant trajectory, isn't it, really, for the future. So it's great to see. I mean, we've got a great team at Hearts and Minds, and the fax is going, the emails are going, the phone's going, and every day we're meeting new people who want to engage.
So what are some of the subjects that you're covering off in these wellbeing support groups?
Yeah, so we have a team of counsellors, psychologists and psychotherapists. And they are contracted to deliver the groups, different modalities. So, for example, most of the groups would include at least some mindfulness. There's a few that has a larger proportion of sort of mindfulness approaches, but ACT, acceptance commitment therapy, cognitive behavioural therapy, DBT, so quite a range.
Right, but these therapies that you're introducing to address things like anxiety, I mean, in your term two, you had parenting anxious teens and tweens.
Yeah.
And that was something, Julie, that you talked about in an earlier interview, I think, which was probably last year.
Yeah.
And, I mean, I was quite surprised that, you know, anxiety is apparently becoming a very real issue with 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds. Mm. They can't get back to school after a holiday. Mm. You know, they're so anxious. It's... you know, it just doesn't square with this wonderful country that we live in, which is supposed to be so relaxed.
I know, and I think young people these days, they're subjected to a lot more, this is my personal opinion, a lot more pressures than we grew up with. I mean, even social media, we all know there's been lots of conversations in the media about that. It's hard for young people on their self-esteem when they're constantly measuring themselves against who they see on their computer screen, and that can bring about all sorts of confidence issues, anxieties, depression, and that's just naming one pressure. There is just so many, and people are time poor despite all the technology, you know.
Well, they're probably time poor because they're so immersed in the technology. But, I mean, there was an item on the news the other day where young people are having an element of paralysis. They're having their legs are completely sort of jammed up in a, you know, so that they're having to have physiotherapy because they're spending so much time in front of the screen.
It was on TV3, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was.
About an 11-year-old.
Yep.
Propped up on the wall, sitting down, they're trying to get his legs moving.
And he was having to practice walking again, you know, which it just seems to be, there's so many downsides with this focus on technology.
Well, I suppose there's actually research that's shown that gaming, for example, I'm not saying that all gaming is bad, not at all, but there is a similarity with gambling. So, you know, you get a, I'll call it a hit or a win or whatever, and the dopamine, you know, in your brain. So you can become addicted.
Right.
And there are gaming addicts now. I mean, a lot of therapy out there is treating it as such. So
is that something that, I mean...
We haven't addressed. Because our contract is 18 plus,
right,
at this stage we have to focus more on, if you like, our age group.
Right.
And we certainly do look a lot at things like depression, anxiety, self-esteem. So building resilience and supporting people to develop tools themselves, you know, to lift their well-being and to cope with life.
Well, mindfulness is one of those, isn't it? Well, let's take a music break. Declan, what have you got for us today?
Well... I haven't found out much information on this, but it's got David Guetta in it. He's usually quite good at producing things, and it's got a guy by the name of Robin Schultz, and it's called Shed a Light, and you're listening to 104.6 Planet FM.
Why are you keeping me at a distance? All that I'm asking for is forgiveness. Are you even listening? Am I talking to myself again? Staring up at the ceiling, waiting for you to give me some kind of reason. Are you even listening? Am I talking to myself again? And I know you don't owe me your love, and I know that you don't owe me nothing at all. Ain't no way I'm giving up. Don't leave me here in the dark when it's hard to see. Show me your heart, shed a light on me. If you love me, say so. If you love me, say so. Oh,
never answer. I try to talk, you keep on dancing. I can feel you on my skin, but am I only dancing with the wind? And I know you don't owe me your love. And I know that you don't owe me nothing. No, ain't no way I'm giving up on you. Don't leave me here in the dark where it's hard to see. Show me your heart, shed a light on me. If you love me, say so. If you love me, say so. If you love me, say something.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And, yes, this is Sheldon Brown. We had a little gap there. The name of that track was Shed a Light, and being a Stones fan, I think they've got a track called Shine a Light. It might have been on the Gimme Shelter LP that I actually reviewed way back when I was at the University of Canterbury, and it's one of the reasons why I became a journalist and not a teacher.
Oh, well, if you go onto a site I use for some of my sourcing sound facts and you punch in Shine and it brings up something like 100 different songs and you think, wow, here we go.
Yeah, well, Shine is, I guess, our two guests from Hearts and Minds, Carol Ryan and Julie Walker. Well, you're really wanting people to shine, aren't you? You're wanting to lift them out of their anxious places and their depressed places and make them shine and give them resilience.
Well, one of the things I'd say there is, you know, at any stage in our lives, something can happen that throws us off the track a little bit. You know, whether it's the loss of a pet or a family member or a friend, or it's some traumatic experience, or it's that the pressures have got too much for yourself. So one of the things that we aim to do is to ensure that whoever comes to us actually gets information, support and resources. And those options, you know, being a connector of choice for people, that they can have the right to play a part in their own well-being and be actively involved in making choices for their lives.
Mm.
And I think that's really, really critical, because if you feel that you've got a sense of your own input to where you go, you can achieve it and you can do it.
Yeah. Actually, I was just thinking when you were talking, Carol, that because, of course, I take the odd group myself, anxiety groups and what have you, and one of the really rewarding aspects of that is also watching people journey through 6 or 8 weeks together as a group, connecting and learning so much from each other, because I don't have all the answers. I mean, I'm facilitating and I bring some tools, but actually everyone in the room have learned something about what gives them strength, and they share their stories, and it's just wonderful to see those connections, and they shine.
I mean, what are some of those stories, without giving away any sort of personal information? But do you have a sense that life is becoming a bit more stressful? You know, I guess we've got all these pressures of housing and mortgages and congestion in Auckland and trying to get from one place to the other and remain calm and collected. I mean,
yeah, I think it's multifaceted, really. I mean, you mentioned housing, so financial issues definitely seem to be weighing quite heavy on people. I guess the Carol mentioned social isolation, because we've got an ageing population, we have a lot more fragmented families, not all people have an extended family for support, and I remember reading recently, I can't quote them, but the stats on people living alone, for example, and isolation and mental health, you know, are quite closely linked. So this is where we need to build strong communities, and where groups, participating in groups, can really help you get that connection. We also run a drop-in group at Hearts and Minds twice a week, once on a Thursday day and two Wednesday nights a month, and that's just an open group that people can come and just have a cuppa, and we just talk about how life has been. And so, you know, things like this can really help.
I mean, that's quite revolutionary, isn't it? Because I'd say the mental health or community mental health organisations have completely gone away from those drop-in centres. Carol, you're probably familiar,
yes.
Or Julie as well, where they got a bad name because people just sat around, drank coffee, smoked cigarettes and did nothing. I mean, that was the perception. But it doesn't seem to me that you could just advance those drop-in centres by perhaps doing some budget cooking or some healthy meal options, or and giving people the opportunity to do their own cooking and maybe cook for somebody else or whatever.
So one of the beauty of, I do remember the drop-in centres going way back, but the beauty of what's happening across Auckland and many local areas is that the community organisations are doing some initiatives around food and social connection. So, for example, for us, we do Global Food and Friends, which is about anyone from any nationality, anyone who wants to join in can come along, and food's one of the sharings at the end. Everyone brings a plate.
Yeah.
But sometimes they organise speakers, sometimes not, but it's invaluable, that connection. And one, I'd like to pick up on what Julie said about the group environment, because what I see is so often you're hearing of people afterwards going for a coffee, and it's almost like building an extended whānau further out, so that when something happens and they've left that group environment, they can ring one of the people. They often share numbers, you know. So I think that strengthens the social fabric of society. Mm-hmm. It's those small initiatives. So I'm glad you raised it, because it's everyday living is that connection of some form, even if it's like when you go to the supermarket and someone says, oh, hi, Mrs. So-and-so or Mr. So-and-so.
Yeah, so, I mean, they've got a common sort of bond, haven't they? Because they're there to address, say, anxiety or depression, or how to become more resilient, or what are some of the other ones? Well, I mean, parenting, I suppose.
Parenting,
we don't get any training in parenting. It just sort of happens, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
And also to be, I guess, in an environment where it's okay to say, you know, I'm struggling a bit, because, you know, you can't say that. Well, it'd be great if we could say it in any environment, but let's face it, a lot of environments you can't, or people feel they can't share that. So just knowing that I'm not the only one who's kind of struggling with life at the moment, that alone can help.
Well, I think it's very courageous to even say that you're struggling, because, I mean, I've had this year, 2018, hasn't been a great start for me, and I had a little bit of a mental meltdown, but I've also had some quite serious surgery over about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And it was quite interesting that the response of my friends was so much more there was so much more outpouring when I had a physical issue than when I had a mental health issue. I mean, I guess I was probably more inclined to be very selective about who I told in terms of the mental health issue, and I probably chose people that I knew would be empathetic. But I mean, all sorts of people came out of the woodwork when it came to me having a night in hospital and having to go under a general anaesthetic, and the ongoing support has been so much more obvious, you know. So we still have that. We're not exactly comfortable with this mental health, even though, as you say, Julie, it's getting such a high profile now.
Yes, and that's one of the reasons. I understand what you're saying. I think it's got a high profile, and I think the campaigns that have been run have been really good at raising it and putting it out there. For us, it's like we know that with certain communities, they don't respond to mental health. And so one of the reasons why we actually talk about wellbeing is actually not only because we actually want to see people having the resources and support before they have to enter services, and that they, if they have to enter services, quick access, but also we are wanting them to not have a barrier to access. And so, like, when if you pick up our directory, or if you see it online and you go, ah, this is where I need to be and I need to talk to someone about this, if you you can ring us, or that you can go direct on the directory, and we will support the person on the phone to reach out and get the right support. And one of the beauties of our sources that is we've got an app which we're currently updating, but it actually has the Ministry of Social Development's Family and Support Social Services. So if someone rings from anywhere across the country or contacts us by info@heartsandminds.com, we can actually give them the information of what's local in the area.
So that's info@heartsandminds.org.
Yep.
And the directory that you're referring to is your support services directory, which you've done for many years, and which I guess your former organisation, Rayburn House, was very proactive about. But Hearts and Minds is just as proactive about this support services directory.
Absolutely. Look, we're really passionate about it. I can remember when I joined Rayburn House, I think the directory was something like 8 or 9 pages. And now it's like, oh, heavens, I forgot to do the last count, but I know it's over 88 pages, you know. Right. And you refer to, going back to Rayburn House, our old name, you know, that fundamental information, resource and support is absolutely critical for people's lives. Mm. And that, you know, connecting and just, we just see people blossom. And I'll give you an example of how pivotal the support services directory can be. There was a solicitor who was actually... he wasn't a solicitor. He was the, when you have charged someone, he's representing...
Prosecutor.
Mm-hmm. He's got a young lad sitting in front of him. And he goes, if this young lad goes to court tomorrow, based on what's here, he's going to be in jail. And he looked at him and he was talking to him and he thought, where's his mental health report? Is something not quite gelling here? And he tried to get hold of mental health services and had no luck, but came across our site with our support services directory, so rang us. So we said, oh, look, we'll link you with the right people, and we put the link through and showed him where it was. And it's that thing of, that was absolutely critical, because he was saying, this probably will stop him, if he can be assessed, stop him from going to prison. Right. And that's why you hear me will regularly say, that early model of information, resources and support continues to this day. Mm. And that you've got the choice, you know, by us providing information as a connector, you've got the choice, but you also got support on the end of the phone.
One of the challenges, I think, Carol Lowe, is promoting these resources. And, you know, there are a myriad of community mental health organisations that have limited budgets. They're doing wonderful work, but they don't have the funds to get out there and promote it. Maybe we can come back and talk about that after we have another music break.
Well, I'm going to take you right back to the 70s now. This song peaked at number 3 on the US Top 100, and it topped the country chart for 5 weeks. It goes back to 1970, piquing your interest now. Released as they were coming out of the Vietnam War, it was popular because it touched on emotions, and the song stated, you can make something out of nothing, you take it and go ahead. And it was another way of saying, I never said it would be easy. One of my favourites from the 70s on Take It From Us, 104.6 Planet FM, it's Lynn Anderson with Rose Garden.
There's gotta be a little rain sometime. When you take, you gotta give. So live and let live or let go. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could promise you things like big diamond rings, but you don't find roses growing on stalks of clover. Sweet talking, you could make it come true. I would give you the world right now on a silver platter. But what would it matter? So smile for a while and let's be jolly. Life shouldn't be so melancholy. Come along and share the good times while we can. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden along with the sunshine. There's gotta be a little rain sometime. I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I could sing you a tune and promise you the moon, but if that's what it takes to hold you, I'd just as soon let you go. But there's one thing I want you to know. You better look before you leap. Still waters run deep, and there won't always be someone there to pull you out.
You're with Take It From Us on 104.6 Planet FM.
And I'm host Sheldon Brown with Declan Caron, and we're talking today to the Chief Executive of Hearts and Minds, Carol Ryan, and Wellbeing and Resilience Program Manager, Julie Walker, who is also a counsellor.
That's correct.
Yeah. Psychologist? No, counsellor.
Not a psychologist. I did a psych degree, but I'm a registered counsellor, yeah.
Right. So, and you do some of the wellbeing support groups. You take some of those, Julie, don't
you? Yes,
I
do. I try and take at least one of the wellbeing groups, and I also run the two open groups as well.
Right. So we were talking about this sort of dilemma of how do we promote these things, I mean, not necessarily universally, but I guess widely in your area, so that people know about these things. You know, like I going back to when I was under the care of a community mental health centre, I mean, they didn't really tell me about all these things that were happening in community mental health. You know, like I've eventually got on to bone carving, which led me to work for Framework. I mean, it's the whole reason why I've done 12 years in mental health, was because I was in their bone carving studio and the CEO came in and I said, well, what are you doing about marketing? And so I got a job. I mean, it's so important to have those sorts of things happening out in the community where people with lived experience can connect.
Mm.
Absolutely. One of my dreams is, and I've already sort of got it in my head, is that if you looked online to an area, you can have everything pop up that's available, besides also as an agency providing that when people ring. Because in your local areas, there is so much going on of opportunities for you to interact and join in, but people just don't know. And so I encourage anyone listening is that ask at the library, go online, use whatever, ask the local community constable, ask if they've got a community coordinator, you know. But in any area, there are things happening, and it's like, get someone to help you.
Yeah, so, I mean, if we were talking about going online, I guess you'd just look up Support Services North Shore and a whole lot of things would pop up.
Yes, and often we know about also if someone rings us at Hearts and Minds, we know of what's happening in other areas because we're connecting with agencies.
Yeah, well, you call it here on your brochure about the wellbeing support groups, you call it the Hearts and Minds Hub, and this is in Pern Crescent, Northgate, and the phone number is 441 8989. So you've also got a... an email address here, learning@heartsandminds.org.nz. So is that your email? People should target that if they're looking for wellbeing support groups.
Yeah, that Learning and Hearts and Minds, that's the, if you like, key email to inquire about the groups. But look, if someone emailed, we've got several emails there, look, you'll reach us, don't worry, because right. Everyone on the team... You know, we're all sort of trained in how to respond and
whatever. So the other one is info, which is probably a little simpler, info@heartsandminds.org.nz. I mean, what sort of volume of email traffic are you getting? Is it starting to build up to a point where you're wondering whether you can manage it?
it's a challenge. We're not a big team. Like, we have got 8 staff. Mm. And they're 8 wonderful staff, the equivalent of just under 6 FTE.
Right.
And but the challenge we've got at the moment is, and we're on a trajectory of growth of demand, and it's how do we manage that and also grow it into the future? Because for us, this is a good model. This works really well, and it's been proven time and time again how good it is. So how do we share that model across New Zealand? How do we take it out to broader communities? How do we expand the support services directory, which is a hard copy? We do the online, but actually we're wanting to see us grow that so that it's at the fingertips and it's on the name of anyone. Oh, look, you can get the information from the support services directory. Oh, I'm in a library. Oh, here's a copy. Or, you know, so that there's no wrong place to get the information, but actually we just are passionate about getting it out there.
Is that also out with Citizens Advice as well?
So Citizens Advice is very general information. This is specific to support.
Right.
You know, so although when I say that, we can link you with local community events. So, for example, in Kaipatiki local board area, they have Families and Parks, which is free, and it's a fantastic program. So we would be saying to a young family, look, they have workers there, go and say hi, just join in, be part of it, you know, so... Yes.
Well, I mean, the Auckland Council puts out a thing, I think, called Events Auckland, and it's a weekly digest of what's happening. And, I mean, there's all sorts of things. You mentioned Kaipatiki. I mean, they do a lot of organic gardening, don't
That's
they?
That's right.
And composting and all those environmental things, the Kaipatiki, which I've attended some of those on occasions. But this Events Auckland, you know, offers you the opportunity to go and join volunteers to clean up a beach or, I mean, it's also all the artist festival and the writers festival and art shows. But there are things where people with lived experience could work. well get involved and be outside and helping, you know.
Absolutely. One of the things that we have for volunteers is that we not only have volunteers come into our organisation, but we place volunteers out into other NGOs if they're needing volunteers. And that works really well. And I think it's like CAB and ourselves and others all working in partnership and working collaboratively, which is really, really important. Mm-hmm. And I think in terms of long term, I think we have to be smarter about how we use resources so that we do survive into the future and thrive. Mm. And we as an agency are definitely looking at that.
Yeah, well, I mean, you've got the issue of employing professionals to run these groups, haven't you? And I guess there's a cost associated with that.
Yeah, contractors, mainly right. Contractors. But I guess there's so many things going on that are changing. I mean, the spread of Auckland, for example. I mean, the Waitemata region now is huge, isn't it? If you look at all of the development going on out the northwest.
Hobsonville.
Hobsonville, Huapai, you know, huge GMU. New subdivisions.
Yeah.
I mean, probably term four we're going to look at running a group out Huapai, QMU, because this is being fueled by the demand.
Right.
Auckland is just spreading. And with mental health, for example, you know, a lot of people, you know, they may not be driving. So we can't just remain in Northcote. We need to go out into all of the areas of the Waitemata, which we're starting to do, as you can see.
Yeah. I mean, are the people that are the particular groups who are responding to your offering?
The offering to work alongside each other?
Well, the offering in terms of particularly wellbeing support groups. I mean, are you getting a group of older people or youth or young mothers or parents? Or
look, we get a variety of people, and the Jules, you might want to talk about this, but we get referrals from agencies, so it's not just from the GPs. We get a broad cross-section at times. We get contact. So it's like wherever they come from, we're not going to turn them away.
No.
And this is where the DHB's contract, you know, has been really helpful, because it means that if you're referred by the GPs or an agency, it's free.
And if we, Nicola and I, who work together on enrolments and the program, if we sort of notice a trend of people saying, oh, I wish you had a group that, da, da, da. Mm. We do note those things down. For example, term two, we're running a group for mothers who are suffering some kind of depression or anxiety issue, and they can bring their child under two with them. Mm. And so obviously we're going to provide a safe environment to have those under two-year-olds. And the reason why we're running that group is because of demand.
Right.
We may not run it every term, you know, but so we try to listen to what is needed. We ran a men's group last term, and that was very successful. So it's just really listening to what's coming through the phones, isn't it, Carol?
It is.
What, Kiwi men talking about their emotions?
Oh, yeah, well, you know, we had one group and it was very well attended. And I know that men don't come forward as much as women, but it is improving slowly.
Right.
Yeah.
And at that mental health inquiry panel when Shared Vision North Harbour hosted it here in Northcote, we had a really excellent cross-section of community, grassroots community, but also agencies and men and women there talking and sharing their experiences, which was really powerful.
So it surprised me that you were hosting the government inquiry into mental health and addiction, because we devoted a whole program to it about 2 weeks ago, and the only two events that were advertised was one at City Hospital on the same day as we broadcast, and then the second one was out at Manukau Institute of Technology on the Thursday. And then you must have put out an email saying come and attend the government inquiry into mental health and addiction, and suddenly here is Hearts and Minds being a host on the Wednesday, and it wasn't on any of the official communications from the government inquiry. What were some of the issues that cropped up, Carol, at your meeting?
Okay, so I do want to acknowledge my colleagues in Shared Vision North Harbour, because I'm the chair. That's why it sort of we took the enrolments at hearts and minds. The reason some of the issues that arose, and we were wanting to hear from local community. We wanted to hear the voices. And what was really clear was that peer support was seen as valuable and really wanted to see more of it. To be seen as a valued person, to have access to a supportive system that works with the whole person. And also, due to the demand on services, some who were trying to access support, they got passed from one service to another. So you've got a mix of experience sharing of deeply concerning stories about, you know, how they were treated, to being passed around and getting frustrated, and family members, the impact on family members. There was recognition of the overstretched services and the need for change. Accessible support services is a must. And also there were a number of agencies there who present who talked about working collaboratively, you know, and having a collaborative model going forward in a real sense. And then I don't know if you picked up, but subsequently the police have come out saying they actually have found it frustrating, you know, not working together and coming from a collaborative space.
Well, the police are the front line of mental health at the moment. I think they handled 140,000 calls in 2016. Mm. I mean, that's absolutely extraordinary. I mean, where is our crisis, specialist crisis mental health service?
Well, I think, you know, it's burgeoning. And if you look at the wellbeing across, you know, the indicators across New Zealand, it's concerning the number, like you've mentioned earlier, experiencing anxiety, depression, mental stress, you know, as a whole myriad of things. And you've got to then take in the pressures on the workplace. And so across us as a society, this is a concern. And this is why, actually, we've gone from looking at a 3-year to 5-year plan to go long term. We're actually looking at to 2030 and out, going, okay, we actually want to utilise the model we've got to provide better support, but to build wellbeing across communities. How do we do that? And that's the journey we're on, is how we take that across New Zealand. So and it's a big ask, but it's one that we're up for.
You're the ambulance at the top of the cliff?
Yes. Oh, we're absolutely, absolutely, you know. And I think, you know, one of the things that I'm heartened by New Zealand's history, you know, when we were the first country to give voting rights to women, but we were also the first country who actually became nuclear free. And that tells me that as a country, we're not too big to turn around. It's very hard. So let's get on this thing of what can we do to support each other? What can we, you know, we don't live in isolation. We are better if we've got the opportunity to interact and have our quiet moments. So what can we do together? And that's the journey we're on.
I think the wonderful thing that Hearts and Minds is doing is providing these support groups, well-being support groups, rather than just dispensing pills, which, of course, I'm afraid the mental health system really is only good at dispensing pills. And even when you end up in hospital, I mean, it's dispensing pills. You take the pills, you're not even told what some of the pills are going to do or what the side effects might be. There is very little other support, like mindfulness or walking groups or talk about resilience or even psychologists or counsellors.
As long as we keep focusing on the ambulance at the bottom of the cliff, nothing will change, right? Because the population's increasing and pressure of life is increasing. So we have to start looking at the why, and as Carol said, prevention, building resilience. Otherwise, you know, if you just continue doing the same thing, what happens? You get the same result.
You get the same result, yeah. If you keep on doing what you've always been doing, you get the same thing.
Yeah. One of the things I'd like to sort of say is I was fortunate to go to the World Social Enterprise Conference held in Christchurch. It was an absolute coup for New Zealand. And I went down because our interest is how do we become a social enterprise and actually ensure we are sustainable and ensure we're making social impact and taking it further. What was really exciting, I saw a myriad from all this young talent coming forward across a myriad of different communities. I saw excitement,
passion
in terms of here's another way we could live. Actually, we want to be, and one of the main mantras I kept hearing was social outcomes, environmental impact, and sustainability. Those were on the lips of our up-and-coming young people, but also on the lips of the older and the older generation. So there was a real mix across generations, but those three things, social impact, environmental impact, and sustainability. And that gave me hope. And I went to one session in particular, Tikanga Māori, and it was amazing. Just brilliant, some of the work that Māori are doing. And I think, you know, entrepreneurship's on the rise.
Well, yes, Māori are overrepresented by three times in our mental health system, which is a very big worry, and it's an issue that we don't really talk about. I'm confused about the well-being of Māori in New Zealand and why they are so terribly overrepresented in the negative statistics, but we don't have time to address that. I just wanted to ask one thing. Anybody that may have heard about Hearts and Minds, do you have to live in the Rodney, West Harbour, Waitakere and North Shore area to qualify for your wonderful courses?
No.
No?
You can actually contact us.
Right.
If it's needing to be something happened across the city, we will definitely talk and see what we can do.
Great. Okay, well, you can contact Hearts and Minds on 09441 8989 or info@heartsandminds.org.nz. They're in Northcote. And thank you very much to Carol and to Julie.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Sheldon and Declan.
Great. Yeah, I was just going to say, we've got a few more moments left yet.
Oh, you're always confusing me.
I know,
you held up a thing saying 2 minutes to go.
Yeah, well, that's before we get to Joe.
Is that right?
Yeah. So,
Joe Cocker.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I know somebody that works in the courts system, corrections, and there is a lot of people in there that shouldn't be there, she says, due to
prison.
Yes, yeah, because of mental health issues.
Well, we interviewed somebody about they were advocating a mental health family court, and the stats show that up to 90% of prisoners have got mental health issues.
And very high incidence of sexual abuse as children as well.
Right.
So, you know, you've got to understand the what went before, really.
Exactly. Well, let's go out on Joe Cocker.
Awesome.
Everybody's at you.